Welcome to the podcast series for AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology. I'm your host, Kara Hansel-Kehan. Today we'll discuss the article by Nausch et al. Titled, Nerve-Induced EC Calcium Signals Oppose Vasoconstriction. This article published online December 2, 2011. My guests today are Associate Editor Nancy Kanagi, Senior Author Mark Nelson, and Leading Expert Michael Hill. Let's get started.
Thank you, Kara. This manuscript by Nausch and co-workers out of Mark Nelson's laboratory at the University of Vermont proposes the novel paradigm that activation of perivascular sympathetic neurons activate a signal that originates in the vascular smooth muscle cells and then passes to the endothelium via myoendothelial junctions to elicit increases in endothelial cell calcium. This then results in an endothelium-dependent dilator pathway that limits the vasoconstrictor response. The novel aspect of this study is a suggestion that this factor that's transmitted to the endothelium via the myoendothelial junctions is the small signaling molecule inositol trisphosphate, or IP3. The transmitted IP3 appears to activate the release of calcium from the endothelial endoplasmic reticulum, leading to the generation of local calcium events termed calcium pulsars. Turning first to Mark, what do you see as perhaps the most significant aspect of this study?
Thank you, Nan. I think the most significant aspect, which you touched on, is that the traditional view has been that the sympathetic nervous system regulates vascular tone independent of the vascular endothelium, the cells that line the blood vessels. Our study provides evidence that the endothelium is actively and dynamically engaged during neurovascular coupling, and this process or forms a transcellular negative feedback module to limit vasoconstriction.
Thank you, Mark. And Michael, if we turn to you now, could you comment on what you see as perhaps the most significant aspect of this study and some potential limitations?
As you pointed out, there are a number of highlights to this study, particularly that both under resting conditions and in response to a physiologically relevant stimulus, the vascular smooth muscle is talking to the endothelium. At a slightly deeper level, the increased information that we're gaining on localized calcium events that are occurring in very restricted domains, in this case in myoendothelial junctions, that calcium's acting as a signal. And finally, that the mechanism that's opposing the sympathetically mediated constriction is EDH or EDHF in nature, and it's independent of some of the other mediators that have gained a lot of attention over the recent years, such as nitric oxide and prostaglandins. The main limitation with the study is still in respect to IP3 itself, that invoking IP3 as the mediator that's coming from the endothelial cells to the smooth muscle cells is still somewhat indirect, and it would be fantastic in the future if we could have a more direct measurement of this.
And on that same topic, Mark, could you comment on perhaps direct application of IP3 to the endothelial cells? Does this increase pulsar frequency or have any of the responses that you would hypothesize would occur if indeed it is the transmitted effector?
In a previous study, we elevated IP3 both with endogenous acetylcholine, which activates muscarinic receptors. We've also, which wasn't in the paper, have done caged IP3, elevates the signals. If we block IP3 receptors, we reduce the signals. We deplete the ER stores, we eliminate them. So it's pretty clear that these are IP3 receptor-mediated events.
Now, those studies have been done, I'm assuming, with either end-phase preparations or isolated endothelial cells. Have you ever tried imaging endothelial cell calcium events in pressurized arteries to see if in that setting they behave in the same way?
In the previous study, Ledoux et al. Was in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences in 2008. We did both pressurized arteries and on the slit-open on-fos preparation, and the events behave the same. They look the same. The advantage of the slit-open preparation is obviously optical resolution, and we have more cells in the field of view, about 14 cells, versus in a pressurized artery, we get about 2 or 3 cells. In the current study, it wasn't really practical to do a lot in the pressurized arteries because the arteries constrict so much, obviously, the sympathetic stimulation.
Mark, I was wondering whether on the slit open preparation that you can apply tension to it or vary the tension to mimic a pressure response.
Michael, that's a great question, and we could do that. We haven't done it. We generally stretch them out and pin them down in order to make sure that the endothelium is not ruffled at all to have a really good, clean optical resolution. One of the aspects of the study is that we use a mouse model that has a genetically encoded calcium biosensor that's on an endothelial promoter, connexin 40. So the calcium biosensor is only in the endothelial cells. So this avoids issues from using fluorescent dyes that then both load the smooth muscle and endothelial cells.
Kind of going downstream of these pulsars, Mark, what do you speculate this EDHF might be in this bed?
The simplest thing, they're small third-order branch mesenterics that would be electrotonic spread from the myoendothelial projections, endothelial cells, back to the smooth muscle. That would be the simplest explanation.
And that has been certainly suggested. Also, perhaps release of potassium through the IK and the SK channels.
That's possible. They could be certainly released if they open the channels, this local release of elevation potassium between this endothelial cell membrane and the smooth muscle cell membrane. So that's certainly possible to activate the smooth muscle. These arteries don't have inward rectifier potassium channels in the smooth muscle cells. So it would have to be some other transient activation of the sodium pump or something like that if one invokes that mechanism.
And that's been supported by work from Kim Dora's lab.
Exactly. But we didn't look into the precise mechanism. As Michael mentioned, the endothelium sends membrane projections through the internal elastic lamina to contact the smooth muscle cells. And for me, it's always been a puzzle. Why have these IK channels localized there when if you turn them on, there's electrical spread throughout the whole cell instantly? And the results in our current study suggest maybe the projections and this localization is there is to sense things that are going on in the smooth muscle cells in order to provide a negative feedback loop to the smooth muscle cells.
The observation that the electrical field stimulation evokes activity in quiescent sites rather than, you know, increasing the activity of the existing sites is, you know, particularly intriguing. I know you've given a couple of explanations, but I wonder if you can tell me whether you think there's any fundamental differences in those population of signaling sites.
That's a good question, Michael. And I don't know if there's any fundamental difference. All one would have to invoke is that the active sites have, by virtue of that, them being active, have higher ambient levels of IP3 and calcium, and therefore the ones that are then engaged have been experiencing lower local levels of IP3 and therefore are recruited.
When you wash out the stimulus or remove the stimulus, the patterns went back to the basal state, but were the exact same sites still the ones that were showing the pulses?
Yes, if we sample long enough, you'll have some sites that are recruited, become quiescent, and new sites appear. So it's not simply the ones that came to be or the ones that disappear.
Fascinating. Do you know whether your results are applicable to other vascular beds?
I would hope so, and I would think, at least in small arteries where there's not, and arterioles where there's not a lot of smooth muscle cell layers for the sympathetic nerves to communicate through.
Mark, not every IEL hole apparently has a junction through it. Do you think that the junctions themselves may have any dynamic nature other than being totally static structures?
That's a great question, Michael. I wouldn't be surprised if they are dynamic. They're certainly contractile elements, actin, myosin, myosin light chain kinase, and endothelial cells, so they could very well be dynamic.
Well, Mark, you've a reputation on looking at calcium signals, calcium sparks, and now calcium pulsars. Do you want to give us any insight on how you came up with the name calcium pulsars?
It's an interesting question, Nan. We were imaging the endothelium. This was Jonathan Dew, Adrian Bonoff, and myself. We were looking at these flashes of light that were appearing on and next to the holes in the internal elastic lamina. And they were happening about once a second. And I thought, well, they're happening next to the black holes. And the frequency is very much like the frequency that was first described by the pulsating star, the pulsar. So I thought we'll call them calcium pulsars because they're stationary, had the same frequency, and they were near black holes.
What's activating PLC in the basal state when there's no stretch, there's no activity?
It's a good question, but I mean, if we block PLC, virtually all the pulsars disappear. So
yeah, no, your data is very strong showing that.
And so I don't know. Maybe it's because it's stretched, but we see it also pressurized too.
Mark, do you have any closing words that you want to give us?
The take-home message is that one should really view the vascular wall as an integrated entity, and in this case, I would view the endothelium as an extension of the sympathetic nervous system. And they have to work precisely together. And I view this more like a sandwich, and the smooth muscle is the bologna, and the things on either side are the important things, regulating how the muscle contracts in a very dynamic way.
So thank you, Mark, taking us from outer space to bologna sandwiches and telling us how the endothelium can actively respond to sympathetic nerve stimulation to regulate vessel diameter. And again, giving us further insights on the molecular regulation of calcium signals and vascular tone.
And thanks for listening to this AJP Heart and Circ podcast.